Okay, welcome back. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Immunize Wisely, and my guest is Dr. Raymond Obensawin, and we're going into his paper, where Pathogenic Microbes and Disease, Causation or Consequences, that he wrote in July 2020, that's posted to the vaclib.org website. And we're going to go right into the connection of all of this to plant and animal life. It's pretty important, you know, these different mineral deficiencies. And there's other things in the soil besides just minerals. You know, there's a whole fungal system, you know, that helps the plants actually do the uptake of these various minerals in the soil. So there's a lot to it. And so, you know, once you have healthy plants, that's the foundation. You want to go into that some more?
Well, I think we need to keep in mind that we're human beings. We're not made out of stardust. We're made out of earth dust. And the foundation of life on this planet, aside from sunlight and oxygen, is, of course, the ground we're walking upon. And it's interesting, Sir Albert Howard, who was, you know, the British imperial economic botanist, went to India in the first part of the 20th century. Mm-hmm. And he fed his soils and regenerated his soils to the point where all the plants and the crops being grown were totally disease-free. He said, in 7 years of observation, I couldn't recall a single case of either insects attacking his plants or fungal attacks of any kind. And then he went on to mention that this whole idea of chemical spraying of plants to avoid pests is scientifically and radically unsound, and it's an attempt to preserve material hardly worth saving. And what he essentially said, for 21 years, he observed in these experiments, the study of his well-fed animals, well-fed meaning fed from plants grown on regenerated, remineralized soils. Mm-hmm. And he said, I studied the reaction of my animals to epidemic diseases like rinderpest, hoof and mouth disease, septicemia, and so on. And those diseases were devastating all the herds and cattle around him, because there's a lot of farms in the area where he was. And he said, none of my animals were separated or segregated. None were inoculated or vaccinated. They frequently came in contact directly with diseased stock from neighboring farms, and there was not one case of infectious disease occurring in any of these animals. So that really is a very interesting pointer.
And what I find really incredible is that this was in India, in Bengal.
Right.
And you know, here, that's right where Monsanto started, you know, putting a lot of money and energy. It's like, wow, you know, that's quite a flip from, you know, having the, you know, one of the first examples in, you know, the 20th century of really healthy livestock because of the healthy plants they're fed. And then it does that big flip.
It's interesting, too. They really concentrated on the island of Kauai, which is the most verdant and beautiful of all Hawaiian islands. They like to go to paradise and ruin everything, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very sad, the papaya. I was actually in Hawaii on a visit with Dr. Len Horowitz, and he took us to a papaya grove, and he was into gleaning these papayas from this GMO grove, and we were really creeped out. Because there was not one insect, one bug. There was rotting fruit on the ground. There weren't any weeds at all. It was like totally sterile.
Yeah.
And nothing. No, it wasn't even rot. I mean, it was like mushy and rotting, but there was like no more. It was the creepiest stuff.
Yeah, it sounds like snow that won't melt down in Texas.
Right. And I don't know. The whole thing just gave us the EGBGs. It was like corn that I saw, some GMO corn. It was the gleaning people came out from North Idaho to Central Washington. Right. And I lived in Moses Lake, and I didn't realize they were taking them out to a GMO corn place. Right. And, yeah, the kernels had this weird pink color to it.
Right, right.
It was just, the whole place was creepy to me, and I think they all kind of freaked out too. You know, yeah. They drove, you know, 2.5 hours, you know, from Sandpoint to Sandpoint.
Well, yeah, it's interesting. Anywhere you see GM crops, the animals in nature will avoid them. They will not go near them. Like, you know how much raccoons love corn on the cob in the field.
Right. Yeah.
They won't go near a GM, genetically modified corn crop. They have this instinct that tells them, don't touch poison.
Right. Well, this is the whole thing that was so horrible, is that our Department of Agriculture was subsidizing the GMO corn, and they were dumping, you know, free, it was like free corn to the hog farmers.
No, yeah,
the pigs are highly intelligent, and they wouldn't eat it, so they would starve them onto it. In fact, our listeners should know this, I am going to do a show just about the pork industry and why you should never touch pork. Right. I don't care how it's raised.
Right.
Pork is one, you know, animal. I mean, if you're going to eat meat at all, that's one meat never to eat.
Well, the basic rule of thumb is, whether you're talking sea life or land life, is, you know, if it's a scavenger, stay away, you know.
Right.
You know, catfish or any bottom feeder is going to have a lot of chemicals, a lot of waste, a lot of disease potential being created.
Well, pigs are actually scavengers. They are scavengers.
Oh, they are. They are, definitely. Yeah.
And vultures. I mean, they'll eat, you know, garbage.
Well, the Levitical code in the Bible, in the Old Testament, the Hebrew scriptures, it's very clear that there are clean and unclean animals, and the unclean animals include pork. That's why Jewish people don't eat pork and Muslim people don't, because of Moses' writings. Again, it's because, you know, they're scavenger creatures, and, you know, they'll eat almost anything. They're omnivores. People think we're omnivores, but we're not. We were created as plant eaters.
That's correct.
Yeah. Anyway, so let's go on. You know, there's so much we can discuss and so many issues to consider. It's hard to know where to begin or where to turn. But I think the important thing is that we need to understand that health is not an accident, and disease is not an accident. And as human beings, we always want to blame something or someone else for what happens to us. Now, if obviously, if you got a vaccine and you get sick from it, you know, you were part of that decision-making process. You accepted the propaganda. You didn't do your research. So you pay the price of being a fool. You know, sometimes it'd be a very, very high price. but it's fascinating, because if you look at, like, all the countries of the world, some of the key countries, wherever there are a higher number of vaccines mandated up to age 5, the under age 5 death rate per 1,000 live births increases significantly. And it's almost like a straight line going from very low levels, like Sweden, which had like 11 vaccines mandated and had like about a number of their death rate for underage 5 was one-third that of the United States with 36 vaccines mandated. Now that these numbers have gone up considerably, these are older figures, and as the numbers go up, the diseases rates and death rates go up. So, I mean, you know, when they first mandated the CDC that children under the age of 5 should be getting the flu shots, the flu rate among those children and death rates just skyrocketed within a matter of, you know, a month or two, as soon as they start getting the vaccines. Mm-hmm. So, you know, people just don't understand that vaccines are not, they're not scientific, okay? They're predicated on superstition and assumptions, and they've never demonstrated that a particular virus or a particular bacteria actually can cause a particular disease. There's never been any tests done, like the 1918 the Great Flu pandemic of 1918.
Mm-hmm.
In my paper, I talked about the experiments that were done jointly between the U.S. Navy and the U.S. Public Health Service, you know, where they took all these recruits, young men, healthy young men with no history of disease, and they did the experiments with, like, in Boston Harbor with 100 volunteers, and in at least the same number out in San Francisco. And it was amazing all the things they did. You know, they had Haemophilus influenzae sprayed into the and swabbed into the noses and throats and then the eyes of these volunteers. And mm-hmm. none of them got sick. And then they received injections of blood from the flu patients. None of them got sick. Then they were taken to an influenza ward and exposed each of these volunteers to 10 patients each. And each volunteer shook hands, talked with him at close range, and he permitted him to cough directly into his face. Not one of these volunteers ever developed the flu. And the mm-hmm. scientists, the doctors studying this, they're totally puzzled. And they said, you know, it's an interesting thing. They said, we came into this outbreak with this idea that we knew the real cause of this disease, and we were sure we knew how it was transmitted from person to person, but it turns out that we don't really know what we know about this disease. In other words, what was considered to be one of the most contagious of communicable diseases ever seen couldn't be transferred from person to person under these experiments, and they did everything you could think of to transmit it. So what's the real story here? You know, you had mm-hmm. large numbers of people who were being poisoned by aspirin, for one thing. Mm-hmm. It goes into that in my paper. And then mm-hmm. when they did do studies, they found that everybody was dying of pneumonia. They weren't dying of the flu. And mm-hmm. and there are multiple factors why people get pneumonia and get sick and die. It has to do with a whole range of, you know, factors that I don't have time to go into. Mm-hmm. But the reality is that this COVID business, in fact, I read a recent paper where it was saying if the CDC had used the same standards and criteria for disease reporting that they've been using for decades for infectious diseases and had applied that same rule book and criteria to COVID, we would see a 1,600% lessening in the rate of mortality from this disease. So in other words, it was a massive exaggeration, 16 mm-hmm. times higher death rates than were actually happening because of a convoluted, newly created disease and death reporting system. So, you know.
Well, that was all, as you know, on purpose, because they were, you know, these hospitals are corporations needing to make money, and they had a lockdown for over a month where all their, actually it was longer than that, where they only were allowed to take COVID patients, and everyone else at elective surgeries, everyone else was pretty much forget it. So, yeah, and then they got, you know, three times more money if they put them on an intubator, So, I mean, it goes on and on, and then the intubator is killing people, and now who recommended that? Right. I mean, Trump is just, you know, this is not his expertise. He has to rely on the alleged experts that are around him that were pretty much put in place, you know, either by Obama or the Republican Party recommendations, you know? So he's, you know, we all got to see, you know, just how corrupt our country is.
But I think historically – the medical system has gotten away with murder, literally.
Well, they have been. I mean,
murder not of one or two people, but millions of people over the decades.
Because it's been going on. This is, I think, Gary Knoll et al., you know, and Carolyn Dean, all when they did Death by Medicine. That was such a seminal work. I know I spread that everywhere and cited it in our newspaper. Right. Right. As that was so important, just to see the death toll from modern day medicine, you know, adding up. Exactly. And I love the way you had it in your paper, where you were comparing it to so many jumbo jets, you know, going
crashing
down. I was like, whoa, that really puts it in perspective.
Yeah, exactly. And when these numbers, when you see the actual people and the lives they were living, and you know, it adds another dimension to it, that these are real people with families, with, you know, loved ones who mourn their loss, and, you know, the expenses they had to go through to have the honor of being killed by medical practice. You know, they'd pay huge sums of money for that privilege, dying at the hands of this physician class. I like Dr. Mendelsohn's book written, you know, how many, that was it, 44 decades ago now? Or five? Anyway, the book Confessions of a Medical Heretic. He wrote the foreword, I think, to your mother's book on immunization, Reality Behind the Myth.
In fact, I always say that was one of the last things he wrote before he passed. Because it was soon after, you know.
Yeah, he was a very good man. He had great insights. But his view was that modern medicine is really like a religion, a cult. It's not really predicated on science. And doctors are like the high priests, and you know, and then you know the nurses are just the lower priest class, and then you had, you know, the vaccines are the holy water, and the hospitals are the temples of doom, you might say. I mean, it's not to say that modern medicine isn't doing some good things. I think in relation to emergency medicine, that's one of the redeeming element, that they can get bullets out and reset fractures and sew a hand back on, and you know, to do that kind of constructive thing is very positive. But I'm talking about chronic degenerative disease as well as infectious disease. Modern medicine is just, you know, totally off base. You know, just completely wrong in terms of their understanding of the very nature of disease. They treat disease as if it's some kind of a physical enemy that they can go in with their weaponry and destroy. And then the problem is, in that process, they're destroying the human constitution. You know, because disease is really, you know, the body is very self-defensive. It's very reparative. And when we see what we call pathogenic bacteria, the bacteria have assumed a new form as a protective measure to help heal the body, to make things better. It's not there to make things worse. We have to understand there's an inherent wisdom built into the human body. You know, that it's a bit like when you go and cut a tree. You go back a week later, you'll see that wound healing over because there's an intelligence at work within that tree. Likewise with our body. Where do you want to continue? There's a lot of topics.
Well, you have you also in this paper, you go into smallpox, you go into polio.
Right.
I mean, it's really a great summary, you know, to me, of some of the more salient aspects of these issues, how it relates to.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's okay.
What I was going to say was the great mantra, even when all this COVID planned pandemic got underway, Fauci's big comments were, well, as soon as the vaccine's out of Gates as well, everything's going to be wonderful. We can put the masks away. We can do this. We can do it. Now they're saying the vaccines aren't going to actually stop the disease. They'll just make the symptoms less severe. Did you read that? I mean, that's...
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Statements. they got to try to have it both ways, talk both sides of their mouth. But what I'm getting at is they'll say, oh, look, we conquered smallpox. Look, we conquered polio. We conquered all those infectious diseases over the last 100 years, and it's nothing but blatant falsehood, blatant lies. And you had, like, way back in the late 19th century, you had Charles Creighton, who was considered the founder of modern British epidemiology. He wrote the book History of Epidemics in Britain. Well, he was asked by the editors of the Encyclopedia Britannica to do an article on smallpox and smallpox vaccination in their ninth edition. And then he looked at what happened all through Europe, and what he found, it revealed that smallpox vaccinations and revaccination did not lessen, but actually greatly intensified death rates from the disease in all these different countries. And then you had, you know, by 1928, you had this article by a physician in the British Medical Journal, I think his name was Perry, and he says smallpox is five times as likely to be fatal in the person who's vaccinated versus someone who's not vaccinated. It's a 500% greater death rate if you get vaccinated. And then you mentioned, like, in highly vaccinated places like Bombay and Calcutta, which was still part of the British Empire then, smallpox is everywhere. Well, in very minimally vaccinated areas like Leicester, it's almost unknown. And,
okay, well, we have a commercial.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel, with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Okay, welcome back. We just have a few more minutes before we'll probably take callers. If you do want to call in and you have a question or comment for Raymond Obasawin, that would be 512-248-8252. The 800 number still works, but we're trying to move away from it. So if you can just write that down by your phone, 512-248-8252. That's really appreciated. It saves the network money. And so after, the next break, we will go ahead and take callers. Yeah, there is a lot with this latest pandemic, and I really love the way you ended the paper. You have great charts, great references. People can do further research. So I would encourage you to go to the chat room for a direct link. And if anybody can't get to the chat room, you're free to call me. And some people do know my number, but you can always call the board operator and he'll give you my phone number if anyone's not on a computer. Because I know there's a few people that listen on their phones and then they actually don't have computers. I've heard of this happening in this, on this network, even in this computer day and age. Right. So we're going through pathogenic microbes and disease causation or consequences. And, you know, I really like to highlight you did such an excellent slide presentation and 62 slides in a PDF format. And on our coronavirus page, you can access it at the helm page, vaclib.org. It is the first thing in our coronavirus section because it's a good summary, and it's listed as a good summary. And that was October 20th, 2020, was the latest version of that that I know of anyway, and that's what's posted. So,
Yeah, I can't be too much longer. I've got it's getting quite late here.
Okay.
It's about 9:30 p.m. I'm on the East Coast. Are most of your listeners in the West?
They're all over the country.
Oh, okay.
Actually, they're in Florida. They're in West Virginia. They're in
all
Utah.
Over.
Yep. So.
So is it an online radio, or is it actual radio?
Let me just say that if you are in an area where you have ability to micro broadcast, and there are different places in the country where people will do that, get the equipment to do that, you could hear us going down the highway. We used to be able to do that in our local area, but the guy is not doing it anymore. Okay. But in different parts of the country, different stations will pick it up, but it's usually on the FM band. Mm-hmm. And so that's, you know, it's really determining, it's determined by who's in the area and wants to rebroadcast it. It's on, also on satellite dish.
Mm-hmm.
I used to get Republic Broadcasting through a satellite dish. You can buy a satellite dish, one-time fee, and then you can get Russia Today, you can get Al Jazeera, you can get a Chinese English station, TV, or radio.
Right. Okay.
So,
yeah.
Well, that's how I listened all the time, and it doesn't go into the statistics of how many people listen, even though there's people that do listen, you know, because it's a satellite dish you can get for any place on the planet and listen.
One thing people need to be aware of when we think about disease causation, whether it be chronic disease or infectious, and that is that disease processes are the body's attempt to make things better. In other words, we create unhealthful conditions by choices we make, for one thing. I know that there are other factors that can be at work, like environmental contamination, poison water supplies, whatever. But we need to keep in mind that by and large, the majority of diseases people are experiencing are because of bad choices. They eat foods that clog their arteries. They don't exercise. You know, they don't get sunlight exposure. They don't get adequate rest. They're in a constant state of negativism. They say if you analyze human thought processes, approximately 80% of everything people think is negative. 20% is positive. So we have an imagination that tends to focus on the negative. We have emotions that are generally negative. All of these things deplete, degenerate, and weaken life force. And so we're essentially creating our diseases by not understanding and following and being self-controlled relative to the causes of health. Just like disease is caused, health is caused. And really, it's a continuum between the two. We're somewhere in that line. Yeah.
Well, I totally agree there. That's what I teach my customers. Mm-hmm. Okay, stay tuned. We'll take calls right after this.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper?
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an energy cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an energy cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
We don't only have so much time for callers, and we have a couple callers, but go ahead and finish. So you had an experience with being quarantined, or at least threatened to be quarantined. So how did that go with you?
Yeah, well, essentially, the governor of New York greatly expanded the number of states that posed a threat, to the point where, you know, he knew it when he ran for governor in the future, he could make the claim, you know, well, we quarantined X thousand people and look at all the lives we saved. Part of his, you know, sales pitch to put him back in. So anyway, I had to go and speak in northern Minnesota and had to go via North Dakota to get there. And so I ended up having to report when I flew back to upstate New York that I'd been in those two states, and they were both on the blacklist. You know, I had to quarantine. So I got a call from the New York state government people who were managing this, and they were medical people, as a nurse. And I began to discuss with her the very things I was presenting as to the fraudulent nature of COVID-19 and how it was being used as a political tool for a whole range of reasons. And it was basically unscientific in terms of the things that were being prescribed, including the quarantine. And she finally says to me, well, you know, you have the option of just opting out of this. You don't have to be quarantined. And I thought to myself, you know, it must be that they're trying to avoid potential legal liability for people who lose a lot of income because of quarantine. And when it's later discovered this thing was fraudulent, the government could be sued, the governor could be sued. So to be cautious, there's an opt-out clause that nobody's told about. So I was never, you know, so I said it, and she said, well, you can opt out. And I said, well, how many other people have opted out beside me? Oh, zero, you're the first one. Because they don't tell people, you know, they don't know that they have to.
Yeah, of course they have to be able to opt out because the legislature's not involved. I mean, it's all a big experimentation. There's actually, you know, I mentioned before I brought you on, you know, the federal law that they can't do anything under, you know, this emergency licensing, you know, because it is all an experiment. Right. But anyway, let's go ahead. Again, that number is 512-248-8252. And if you want to call in, we have Tom in Utah. Welcome, Tom. Thank you for calling in. Hi, Tom. Ken? Yes. Oh, well. Awesome. Ken? No, Ken's...
Tom is open. Hang on. Let's try again.
He is open. Okay.
Hang on.
Yeah, he's on the phone.
Okay. Now try it.
There we go.
Hi, Tom.
I won't steal too much of his precious time. I just want to have him connect. I don't know if he's aware that I'm a old friend of Russell Means. Russell Means Freedom, you know, the wonderful Native American brother. But when he saw my work, Larry Echohawk connected me to Jefferson Keel, and I spoke to two of the gatherings of the National Congress of American Indians, and I've been laboring with the Native communities for, 20-plus years. My area of specialty is pathology, and, of course, it's in agreement with your pathology or your perceptions or your view of pathology, and that it is the terrain that's the problem. Bacteria are simply the little cleanup crew.
Right.
They are evidence of a terrain problem. And what I do is I tell the Native American relatives of mine, go back to the old ways.
Yeah.
Return to the corn. Get out of the European slaughterhouse and back into the field of corn.
Right.
That's kind of a metaphor.
The Iroquois people here in the Northeast, they had their main staples were called the Three Sisters, beans, corn, and squash. And it's interesting, a major portion of agriculture in the entire world originated with the Native American peoples. People have no idea that foods like papaya, avocado, sunflowers, all the various squashes, tomatoes, most of the beans, and maize, of course, or corn, originated in Native American agriculture, initially in South America and Central America, Mesoamerica, and then there was massive trading pre-Columbian era where all these foods made their ways north to the Dakotas and to the far northeast into New England. And so they're very healthy people when they lived on those staples. And they believed that animal life was something to value, and they were their relatives. And they only took life if they absolutely had to. So they would always apologize to the animal. And that was in basically the late winter, early spring, when their plant staples, plant foods had been exhausted. There was a period where they had to live off the animal foods.
Right. I've been working especially with the diabetics of the tribes. The Navajos have been really plagued because they've been all vaccinated. They have
So, and vaccination is linked to diabetes. It's very clear. There's a very strong linkage.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. So would you please go to my website called Gassing America or GassingNativeAmerica.com and call me. I don't want to take any more of your precious time, but we need to get together.
Yeah, perhaps you could send Ingrid a note as to the actual URL for the website. She could forward it to me.
Yeah, I will. I will definitely forward it, because Tom is a wealth of knowledge. He's someone you will want to connect with.
Okay, very good.
Yeah,
I have a large paper I did about Indigenous peoples and health. I did it for the Canadian government. I think you'll find it interesting. So I'll share that with you when I get your email address.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was blinded, so I have to depend on, on a telephone call or audio.
Okay.
But
there's some good software that'll read your text for you nowadays on the computer.
Oh yes. But not only did they take my sight, they took my economy. I testified to these issues in Washington, D.C. In fact, Jefferson Keel had me at his side when he spoke to Obama twice, both in 2010 and 2011. And that last trip, I was readjusted biologically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tom's been incredibly tortured as a result of his speaking out. I just want you to know, Raymond.
Yeah, you can't dialogue with the devil.
You're right about that one.
Yeah.
And if I had not been living the old ways, I would have never survived their assault.
Right. Was it a microwave assault, or what was it?
No, biological.
Okay.
I can tell you that when we talk.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, Tom. You've been a real blessing for so many people, and so I'll definitely make sure Raymond connects with you. Okay.
By the way, people do not like to hear the truth, do they?
Yeah.
People do not like to hear the truth, do they, Raymond?
No, you're correct. Most people, when they run into the truth, they get up, back on their feet, and they walk the other way as quickly as they can. when they get confronted with truth and get knocked over, they get up quickly in the other direction.
I love the microscope and I love the truth.
Right.
Neither one of them lie.
Yeah, it's a spiritual quality to love truth and to hate falsehood.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you, Tom. Anyway, I'm going to take another caller. I promise to make the connection, because I'm going to be emailing Raymond afterwards. So I'll make sure that he has your contact. Okay. And URLs.
Yeah. Guide him to gassingnativeamerica.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. I believe me, I'll find it. You have great websites. Okay.
Yeah,
he has several websites. Thank you, Tom. Okay, we have Sherry in Kansas.
Yeah, do you mind if this is our last call? It's getting quiet.
Yep. No, that's fine. You can leave. Yes. Sometimes they just want to talk. So, hi, Sherry.
Hi, Dr. Ray.
Hi.
Since you live in Eastern Canada, have you had the opportunity to check into Gaston Nissen's microscope? And he was in Quebec. If he's still alive, he'd be 96 years old. So I'm not even sure if he's still alive. Are you familiar with him?
I'm familiar with his work. I'd heard about it many years ago when there was a controversy going on surrounding his work with his microscope. I know he attempted to replicate Raymond Royal Rife's microscope.
His microscope was totally different, and he could focus his microscope a whole lot easier. The book I'm got my information from was Gaston Nissen, The Life and Trials of Gaston Nissen, The Galileo of the Microscope.
Do you recall the level of magnification he was able to obtain?
I would have to skim the book again, but yeah, he was doing more than Rife was doing.
Even more powerful than Rife's instrument.
At least, but this book is by Christopher Bird. Now his stepchildren, I think, were carrying on his work. I don't know if they had the scientific expertise Gaston and his wife had. Right. But it would be worth you looking into. He was in Quebec province somewhere.
Correct, yeah. Well, I do plan to work in the future on making some kind of an advanced optical instrument. Yeah. So getting that information could be very important.
Right.
Yeah, you should check into it. So I'll hang up. But it's definitely, he was a genius. He should have got a Nobel Prize
obviously.
In medicine.
Yeah.
So, okay.
I know.
Good hearing you. Thanks for the information.
We were actually talking about that, Sherry. And so I'm going to, I don't know if you remember Madame Guy or Ghislaine Langto. I had her on. And that was a while back. I think it was January 2020, I think.
Oh.
Anyway, she's in Quebec, and she was going through her stuff at that time, you know, with the medical mafia. So right around the time of his trial, and I know they know each other for sure. So I was going to go ahead and reach out to her and see if she, you know, knows any of his family and if they still have that microscope.
Yeah.
Okay. Good show, Ingrid. Appreciate your information, Dr. Raymond.
Okay, thank you for calling.
Thank you, Sherry. I appreciate it. So you want to sign up, and that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, it's late. I understand you like to go to bed early, and you have to have a balanced life. You know, you have to be able to exercise and take in the sunshine.
Well, it's close to 10 p.m., so, you know, and I'm not a young man anymore. So, and I didn't have any supper, and I'm getting a bit hypoglycemic here.
Okay. So I so appreciate you coming on. So thank you so much. All of our listeners really appreciate you, too. And I think that section of our website is going to gain in popularity where you have your papers housed. So.
Yeah, and I'm going to send you some more items. Do you know how much your server can handle in terms of a file size? How many megabytes?
If it's a large file, we have to use Dropbox.
Okay.
So
by large, you mean over 15 megabytes or what?
Yeah, usually it's 10. I don't know. You can ask Dewey. Dewey is, you know, pretty much the master of that.
Okay, I'll communicate with him.
Yeah.
Okay, very good.
Recently I transferred a whole bunch of files to South America to a website, and it was in the Dropbox category. I had to do that. That's how big they were.
Okay. Well, thank you, Ingrid, for the opportunity to share with your listening audience. And I'm glad there are people who are searching for truth. We live in a world that seems to be, as my cousin told me, you know, running by the power of lies and money. And we need to put people first and truth first.
Right. All biological life deserves to be healthy. We should be the caretakers of the planet, not the destroyers. So that's but thank you so much. God bless you.
You too.
And believe me, I have plenty to talk about. So no problem. And we always can take more callers. So, you know, get a good night's sleep and get some food in your stomach, and then, get some rest.
Okay.
You deserve it. Yes. Thank you, Mr. Hero. Raymond Obam Sawin. Sawin. Oh, my gosh. Obam Sawin. Okay.
At least it ends with the letters W-I-N.
Win. It's a win.
Okay.
He's a winner. Okay. Thank you, Raymond. Bye.
All right. Bye.
Yeah. You know, so I just wanted you all to know that I've generally had a hard time with this name because I've been mispronouncing it for so long. And I know many of you can relate to that. So, if anyone wants to call in and talk to me, that's fine. Otherwise, I want everyone to know that we have a worldwide meditation tomorrow. Some people on this network know that I'm into these worldwide meditations. Our group is called the 144K. A couple of you have asked for the link and the information. And so I just include you on my list. So if you're interested in that, it starts at 9 a.m. Pacific time tomorrow or 12 noon Eastern time. If you're in Texas, that would be Central time. So it would be 11 a.m. And for me, I did start going to a great church that I really like, but just trumps that for myself. You know, I feel the power and the energy when I'm connecting with hundreds of minds at the same time. And it's to me, you know, we're moving into a lot of uncharted territory in, you know, this lifetime while we're here. And, you know, there's people that are not seeing what's going on. And then there's people that are seeing what's going on. So it's, you know, it's really very interesting. You know, Edgar Cayce, I don't know how if many people know who Edgar Cayce is, but he, his readings were memorialized in Virginia Beach, Virginia, at the Association for Research and Enlightenment. And he read the Bible for every year of his life. And then he had these, you know, heard this voice, and he started giving people readings and helped people a lot with their health. But he said we would be entering this time where that we're in right now, where there wouldn't be any gray area. You've either chosen sides. You're either working for the darkness or you're working for the light. And as we move closer to, you know, higher states of consciousness, you're much more relaxed with what appears to be going on the surface, which doesn't seem to be that great. It seems like, oh my gosh, are we going to live under communism? And Joe Biden is the president. Trump's betrayed us. Really, all of that's not actually what's going on. So, you know, I know I'm probably at odds with a couple of people on this network other than the Sunday morning guy. So I just, you know, if you want to ask questions, that's fine. I just know that there's a huge awakening going on. There's a lot of people that, thanks to you and sharing this information, are more aware of, you know, all the lies we've been told, what the censorship going on that's so extreme. I mean, look at, you know, what's Mike Linwood has been putting out. We have, you know, I've been listening to the X-22 report. But, you know, there anyone that's putting truth out is going to be eliminated from YouTube. So we have Rumble.com. We have Gab as a social network replacing Twitter. Yeah, there's all kinds of new forums other than BitChute. You know, of course, there's Brighteon. That's pretty much Mike Adams, you know, video channel. But yeah, there's a lot of ways of getting our information out. So I would encourage you to, you know, certainly do your due diligence and look up some other alternative sources of information. I just actually joined Gab because I'm working with the SEX Circle of Friends, and I needed to get an account. That's what I was told, that we need to be up and doing. And I'm really not a social media person. I mean, by the, you know, I have to have balance in my life too, and I could, you know, spend at least 10 hours a day in front of my computer, and I, you know, I refuse to do that. It's pretty easy to do. And I know people still that don't have any computers at all. And they resist that, and I think for good reason, because it's Mike Lindell and Linwood. Yeah, they're different people. I was thinking of Mike Lindell, and then there's Linwood is a good source of information, of course, but Mike Lindell is the pillow guy. And I found myself, you know, a little upset. I actually, one of the better stores in the area for buying my produce is Fred Meyer. And Fred Meyer is owned by Kroger. And Kroger is one of the companies, you know, that is, you know, banning Mike Lindell's the pillow guy. And so, you know, with all that, you know, you kind of want to look at all these corporations that are, you know, really supporting this communist takeover of our country. And these are large corporations. They often own the smaller corporations. So it's good to do your research. And I'm actually looking at writing a letter to the corporate office, you know, that I'm, you know, a lot of us are looking at, you know, just boycotting their store, even though they're our favorite place to buy vegetables and fruit. But it's not worth it if they're going to be supporting bringing in communism through our country. And, you know, what's going on in Texas, gosh, my heart just goes out to all those wonderful, you know, patriots in Texas. You know, what's going on is just horrible. I find it absolutely horrifying, you know, that 5 million people, I mean, it got down to the teens. This is unheard of in Texas. Teens. And, you know, the windmills, you know, froze up. And to have 5 million people without power, and then the water issues too, pipes freezing, horrifying. But anyway, my heart goes out because people are saying it's like, you know, if you weren't a prepper, you'll think twice now if you live in Texas. Oh, so anyhow, we have Chance in West Virginia. Thanks for calling in, Chance.
I get Hello, Ingrid. Before I get to my point, I boycotted Kroger's, too, when they started acting goofy about this COVID. They started keeping your change, rounding it off to the nearest dollar and keeping your change, making you wait outside in line. So I boycotted them now. So, and it's a shame, my local Kroger. I haven't been in it in, 6 months, I think, and I won't go in. I won't spend a dime in there. Ingrid, the reason I called is this. You remember my brother passed away in November, right? He had a heart attack.
Right? So
yes. Well, let me tell you. All right, here's my point. He was overweight, yes, but he had a heart attack. He had COVID prior to that, recovered a week later. After he recovered, he had the heart attack. Ingrid, today I lost my best friend in town here. He died of, guess what, a heart attack. A week later, after he had COVID, after he recovered. And now, both of the point I'm making is this. They both took that PCR test, and they were both tested positive. And I remember hearing about that Morgellons or whatever on the tip of the swab, and I have to ask myself this. Now, both of them were overweight. Eventually, if they didn't control their weight, they would have gotten a heart attack, yes. But the timing, Ingrid, a week later.
Hey, I have a guy that wants 30 seconds. Chance, can you call me at home? Yeah,
yes,
30
I will.
Seconds this guy needs, and it's the end of the show. So I'm going to just cut you loose. And Eric, can you just summarize it quick?
Platform. Social 1776. That's social1776.com. It's got all kinds of good stuff that Facebook is pulling down. There's all kinds of stuff getting posted up at social1776.com. Use it, spread the word, and I'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Eric. Thanks for keeping it less than 30 seconds. Social1776.com. Yeah, God bless everyone. I'm going to have a great show next week, and then Mary Toko is going to guest host. So you guys have a wonderful weekend, and if you want to tune into the meditation with me, go ahead and email me, okay? Thank you.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country.
Yeah, I already got Deborah
here.
Those
who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.